Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Control Print Limited, hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome all to the Control Print Limited 1Q FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities. From the management side, we have Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Jaideep, CFO. Now, I would hand over this call to Jaideep for his opening remarks. Post that, we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. My name is Jaideep Barve, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Control Print Limited. Welcome you to the earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2024-25. We appreciate that you've taken out your time from your busy schedule to attend to this call. Mr. Shiva Kabra, the Joint Managing Director of Control Print Limited, also joins me on this call. The detailed presentation has already been put up on our website, as well as in the investor presentation notification on the exchanges for this call. Let me provide you some highlights of the performance of Control Print Limited for the first quarter of FY24-25 on a standalone basis. On a standalone basis, the revenue for the first quarter is approximately 89 crores. This is a good growth from the corresponding figures of Q1 of last year, which was about 80 crores. On comparison with the full year 2023-24, the revenue was 344 crores. For us, pipes, food, cement, FMCG, and beverages continue to be the top sectors. Our performance in Q1 is promising, and the future periods also augur well for the company. We've created a key business verticals approach as part of our sales strategy, which we believe will put better thrust in our efforts and achieve greater success for us. The cost of goods sold is about 38% of the revenue in the first quarter. We see a marginal decrease as compared to the previous periods. However, we can definitely hope for an improvement in reducing this with optimized buying strategies. The EBITDA, PBT, PAT, and EPS, excluding the exceptional items, have grown by 15.34%, 15.42%, 14.55%, 16.96%, respectively, on a year-on-year basis. The way forward is the change sales strategy to bigger and key accounts will definitely increase the revenue and also ensure good quality of it. We look forward to better penetration in the track and trace segment. We'll increase our global footprints by managing our overseas subsidiaries in an efficient way. Our installed base will be increased, focusing on increasing larger market share. The floor is now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Shivaji. Namaskar, Jaideep sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, sir, in your presentation, you outlined about global market access and new product and technology introduction, sir. If you could just allude, where are we in terms of these? What are we trying to convey, and This is my first question.
Sure. Do you want me to take that question, Jerry, or you don't
know? Yeah, Shiva, could you please take it?
No, so thank you, Saketji, first for attending the AGM. I think you put a couple of questions there. We thought we'll address it in this thing so that it all gets written down and gets circulated to all investors. You know, it's easier that way. So, you know, obviously the thing is, you know, we have been quite clear in past con calls that the essential market, you know, or the natural market growth rate of the coding and marking business in a place like India, which is about 10 to 12% depending on the GDP growth rate, about 1.5, 1.6 times GDP, you know, and that's the core growth rate that we would expect in the long term. And, so we said that, you know, because of the structure of the company, we have multiple opportunities available to us. Now that we are confident in our execution within the Indian market itself, which is obviously the most important market for us. So that's in the end, that's paying for all the bills. And we had outlined there were four specific, you know, aspects that we were looking at for increased growth. One was to look at, you know, setting up coding and marking in some international markets. Of course, we had a disaster in Sri Lanka and, you know, that sort of, and then COVID was there. So the travel was restricted and, you know, that held some stuff up. Now, a lot of those plans that were made in the past, you know, and you know, you're aware that Rahul Kheti was also there. So he had already done some surveys and some other market things. Now we're executing some of those plans to, you know, expand in certain other markets in the Middle East, Africa and Asia and countries. So that's part of our strategy. And the idea would be that we can get a certain amount of growth without really requiring, you know, increased resources to that extent. The second part of the strategy was to get more in the digital printing business. We've purchased Markprint. This is about 2-something years ago. And, you know, that has been a bit of a slower integration in that specific regard. But in the meantime, we have also now in this current year integrated all the technologies in the previous year, and we're using some of those technologies in our own printers. The Markprint price tag itself is difficult to sell in India, and definitely, so, you know, the one of the areas just overall I would say is like to look at the digital printing market or to get into coding plus, so we can get beyond just, you know, date code, batch codes, and you know, other statutory information. The third strategy was that we were looking at, you know, also the software, the track and trace and logistics side of the business. And that's something we also started with our QVS codes division. We purchased sort of a, you know, took on the entire team of another, you know, startup, which was missing. And then, you know, we invested in that business in the last 2 years, and you know, that's we are now doing reasonably well. It's picking up, so that's definitely part of our strategy. It's mainly pharmaceutical focused. I'll say that, like, I'll say it's 95% pharmaceutical right now, but you know, obviously we also hope to extend it into other sectors over a period of time. So that's the third pillar that we had. And then the fourth thing, which of course is the major investment, was the V-Shapes opportunity that came along. And as you're aware, we purchased, I think it was like March 29th or something, you know, the auction process got completed and we officially purchased the assets of V-Shapes SRL. And, you know, it's run through our own subsidiary, CT Italia SRL. So, you know, and the packaging, monodose market, what we felt was a very big market. We've got something innovative and different, but of course it's going to take time for it to happen. So I think that if you ask me in terms of strategy, the track and trace is more developed, you know, where we should start seeing some, you know, good results this year. The digital printing also is going to give us some results in India this year. Some work needs to be done internationally to expand the performance of that business in Europe. Some more sales strength needs to be added. And I think as far as the packaging business goes, like I said, it's going to take at least 2 more years for us to see that, you know, that type of thing. Even with all the other things, we're just building blocks. So we're not at the level we want. But yeah, we are, at least I said, in the track and trace of the printing business at a level where, you know, they're not going to lose money, and maybe they'll actually even make profits in, you know, this year. And as far as the international expansion goes, it's something that has been a bit slow. And, you know, we have to go in the right structure. But that's something also we are working on, definitely, to see how we can expand and target certain other different markets of ours. So I think, like, you know, those two aspects, the international part and the packaging business, are going to take more time to mature. And definitely we should actually see positive results in terms of, you know, the digital printing aspect and what it adds to our existing business in India and elsewhere, and similarly with the track and trace business. So I think that sort of covers what happens. Like I said, all these four things were separate things, all related to our existing business, and they were all to increase the longer term, you know, targetable market and to increase our long term growth rate.
Sir, when we compare our Q1 results, the standalone and the consolidated part, there is a cash burn of closer to, say, around 4 to 5 crore. That means the PBT for a standalone is at 20.36 crore, whereas for consolidation, it is closer to 16 crore. So what should be our run rate going ahead, taking into account the consolidation which you just spoke about, the two segments which will start contributing to the bottom line, and the single dose part of the story and other aspects getting traction going ahead? What should investors penciling in terms of the variation in the profitability for the standalone and consolidated number?
No, see, it's not difficult. It's not possible for me to predict this easily, because both the track and trace and the printing, the digital printing aspects, first, which are going to come, a lot of this is going to come in our standalone results, because whatever we are selling in India is not in a separate subsidiary, it is directly by Control Print. So it will be reflected in the standalone results. But they are very lumpy types of sales. Like, you get a project, you know, for a certain amount of value, and then you get nothing for 1-2 months, and you get something bigger. And obviously, in the long term, as you sell more, you'll get more AMC business, more, you know, ink business on our printers. And of course, you know, you get more paper codes or something. So hopefully it will result in more stabilized business over a longer period of time. But as far as, you know, the consolidated and the standalone results, and the major difference you see, it's quite simple. It's because in CP Italia, you know, as we purchased V-Shifts from an auction process. So it's something, if you really look at it closely, what we really bought was a technology, you know, a set of intellectual property and patents. That's what we really purchased. And we had to restart the company because, you know, obviously what we're doing is we've got an investment plan. And this year we had a 3 million euro budget for V-Shapes. So, you know, 1.5 million euros is the basic cost of having the entire technology development team and all the expenses associated with running the company. 1.1 million euros was the R&D budget that we've allocated out there for this year. And then the remaining 500,000-600,000 euros was for the marketing and sales and marketing, which we're still implementing people. So we don't have a sales strategy, frankly, in place as yet, because we still need to identify the right set of people. We only started doing that recently. So, but if you add it up and then you subtract some of the sales that we made out there and, you know, the revenues we booked, so you'll see that, you know, we made approximately like the 5 crore difference comes entirely from CP Italia. But, you know, so far, to me, that's part of the strategy. We knew that this was going to happen. You know, it's part of the plan for us to invest in it and to grow that business. And obviously, as far as I think what is going to happen in the other businesses is that they were negative, and at least they'll be break-even or positive in this year. And the major investment that I see, I mean, obviously, like, in the end, we're always going to look at standalone Control Print coding and marking business to generate the cash flows to, you know, make sure that everything runs profitably without affecting the overall results. But again, like I said, this is a planned investment. So, you know, we have to go through that phase to grow the business, because that's what our target is, to make this as a platform, and we think it has the same scope, if not bigger than what Controlled is currently doing as itself.
Sir, I missed your last two sentences. Black, I missed.
No, I said that for us, I'm just trying to say something, that Controlled Print was built over 35 years. I mean, I don't know when it started myself. I think 89 or something.
Okay.
So this business has come over 35 years to this position. Even if you look at what happened, you know, it took years for the market to be established, you know, for it to become, come to that level. Of course, the whole video jet thing happened, then it restarted. So it's, so what we are trying to do in the packaging business is, we believe the opportunity is there. Of course, I've said it's a high risk. There could be that it might not be the opportunity. It might not be successful. All these things are there. But what we're trying to do is find out the answer as to whether we, this can be a business of similar size and profitability as Controlled Print, but do that, you know, in a 3-4-5 year period, for which we need to put in more money, you know, to invest and grow that business fast. Because we don't obviously want to build that business over a 35-year period. And anyways, the patents will expire in 2034 or something like that. So we have to move and create our markets in, or 2036 before then and, you know, dominate that market. So the idea is that we want to create a platform in the packaging machinery business around a patented IP that we have, similar to what we are doing with our thermal inkjet or our piezo, where we've got a few key patents, and that's where we are focusing more and more of our growth business, especially the international business. And it's the same thing out here, where we've got some intellectual property, and, you know, which has, you know, a high value product. And we feel that if we market it well, if we sell it well, we do everything well, you know, like I said, there is a chance that this business could be a strong platform. Again, like I'm saying, everything is full with risk, you know, so obviously this depends on my judgment and most importantly, our execution. But, you know, this is what we believe as of right now. And that's why we're investing in that business. And we're still growing the R&D. We're still doing more things out there. And that's the idea. So, but fundamentally, the 5 crore difference is the 5 crore loss between, you know, that incurred in CP Italia. If, between the consolidated and the standalone statement, if someone has asked me that. But the budget is there, so till the sales don't keep increasing in that subsidiary, till the machines don't get sold and that time is going to take to get rebuilt, you know, there will be losses because there is a budget of 3 million euros. And, you know, so if you divide that, you're spending 750,000 euros out there a quarter, which is, I think, about 7.5 crores over. I mean, what are something, give or take a little bit here and there, the exchange rates and all. Something 7 odd crores or whatever quarter. So if you're losing 5, that means we only made a core gross margin of 2 out there. I mean, if you take a straightforward, you know, set of calculations.
So just to summarize, this will be the run rate for the quarter, every quarter for this year, since you have budgeted it. So every quarter we are going to see this phenomenon till we reach a critical mark.
I couldn't hear that very clearly, if you could repeat.
Sir, I was commenting that this would be the run rate going ahead, since you have budgeted it for the year for CP Italy. So for a quarterly basis, the run rate is going to be in the mid of between 5 to 7.5 crore. That should be the run rate for this financial year, since you have already budgeted for the sales.
I'm talking about the expense that you're incurring.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what we're going to get.
But expenses have been budgeted.
So I'm saying, so the 5 crore loss that there is because we budgeted an expense of close to 28 crores, which is part of our planned budget, which we're spending over each quarter. And, you know, we feel we're on target with what we want to do. Of course, we want to do a few things faster in terms of getting certain things up, in terms of certain sales and marketing activities, in terms of certain developments, but we are on track. And this was part of our plan to spend this much every quarter this year. In that respect, we are doing that fine. But we also, like I said, it's going to take some time to get everything back in place to understand what sort of market we're doing. And don't forget, this is the investment in CP Italia. We're also making equivalent investments in India also, you know, to make sure that the business is also, because the entire Asia Pacific and Africa is going to be controlled by India, and CP Italy is going to be more used for marketing in Europe, the European region.
Right, sir. And for last point in that, join the queue, for the domestic market, since we have a long discussion about our investment, how are you seeing current year in terms of the consumable contribution in the total pie, since now we have a threshold number of 19,000 plus printers? And also, if we see an uptick in the economy in the second half or going at, since Q1 numbers looks on the right track. So this year, can we look to be closer to that 400 mark as being envisaged by the board earlier? And also, if you could give some more color, how the consumable percentage or contribution is likely to be for this financial year?
No, see, Saket ji, there is no change in our gross margins at all at any product level. You know, what's changed in different situations might be the type of allocations or investments we are making, which can affect the profitability. But, you know, on the gross margin, whatever products we sell, we don't really, we're not discounting them, or we're not seeing any change in margins out there. Neither is our plan to reduce any margins anywhere. Like Jaideep said, we, for the first time, are looking at certain cost optimizations. So we'll see whether we are, how practical they are. We'll discuss that internally and see whether that can be done or not. But so I think the first quarter, if I run right, we'd be something like 88, 89 crores at the end, which was, slightly below expectations for me personally. But I think, it's very difficult to sustain our business in a single quarter. The pipeline is good. So I don't know if it's like, we were unsuccessful, or, we were just a bit unlucky and a lot of orders will slide into this quarter. I wouldn't say anything, but I think that definitely, we obviously still aspire to make that 400 crore target this year. We definitely still aspire to make that target.
Right. Sir, I'll join the queue. I have some general details more for Mr. Jaideep. I'll join the queue once again. Thank you.
Definitely. And if there's specific numbers that people need, or some very specific details, because I don't know what comes in the presentation, what's prepared, but you can definitely check with Jaideep. But if people even ask that in advance, then we can always prepare it and submit it to everyone during the presentation or during the meeting.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nishant Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Joshi, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. So, Nishant Joshi, please check if your line is on mute. Since there is no response, we'll move to the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, my concluding point was about the management bandwidth part also, which you were alluding to, that it is the core decision-making lies with you to take the way forward for these investments in the different geographies of the world that also have a geopolitical impact also. So taking that into account and the bandwidth part, what sorts of preparation or the team building exercise are needed to grow these businesses? And for the numerical part, sir, how much have we totally invested as of now for the CP Italia Mark Print and in the Codeology group? If that ballpark number would be same.
So I'll take that as two questions, but the question, as far as management bandwidth goes, I think that we've been preparing it for the last 4 or 5 years now, in terms of what happened. We have to understand that at least two or three of the subsidiaries that are abroad, both Codeology, Markprint and CP Italia, have their own, local CEOs and other types of people that we've, hired. So it's not always everything is being pushed on to Control Print. But yes, the integration needs to be deeper with them. what we do have is that we have also been preparing from our own side. A lot of our own managers have got that level of skill. And maybe that's also slightly where the thing is, because some of these other people are being pushed out into new positions, new, you know, types of markets or opportunities. And we're getting, you know, their juniors and other new people into looking at the existing work out here. And maybe, you know, that's slightly slowing down things. Like, we also had a big sales strategy change, as we had explained earlier, in terms of a combination of industries and verticals and applications, rather than being very geographically focused. And so it could be that combination is, you know, it means that, you know, it still needs a little bit of time to really settle in. But, you know, I feel like the pipeline is strong for this year and so far, and we should still, like I said, if not hit it, but at least be very close to 400 as of right now, is what I believe on a standalone basis. As far as the second part of the investments go, you know, we made invest about 45 crores totally upfront as of by March 31st between CP Italia and whatever those products, V-Shapes products were in India. So between India and Italy, we had invested about 45 odd crores, approximately, you know,
right.
Give or take a few percent here and there. In Markprint, we've invested €1.5 million about 2.5 or 3 years ago, and we've invested a further €400,000. So that's €1.9 million in total. I think it was 12 crores that time. And now, of course, recently, because the rupee depreciated, maybe slightly more. In Codeology, we've invested exactly £1 million into that business. So those are the three major investments internationally that we made in the European side. But they're three very different investments. So with three very different purposes. So, you know, it's difficult to compare them. So that's the major thing. And then, of course, whatever the operating, like Codeology and Markprint are both operating profitable, the profitable companies. So Jaideep has more numbers. You can definitely speak to him. And we obviously expect that the profitability should increase in both companies. As far as CP Italia goes, of course, not only that 45, but like you said, we are funding it further, you know, and we have funded it, like I said, in Q1. So we've got a budget for it, and, you know, what the final bill is going to be is going to depend on what sort of sales we have during this year. We're definitely I assume that, you know, the pipeline will be stronger and we'll see more revenue coming out of that side towards the end of the year. You know, and things to look better, even if not in terms of monetary terms, but in terms of, you know, a real revenue and, you know, future market visibility.
Just to drill it further, sir, CP Italia investment is 45 crore, and this year we have budgeted something closer to 28 to achieve the higher revenue base. That's what the pipeline is for the year.
So again, I'm just repeating, 28 crores is what's budgeted to CP Italia as the expense budget.
Yes.
The company had, you know, because we bought it through the auction process, we forced it into a bankruptcy procedure and we bought it as a, you know, in auction. And as a result, the company had temporarily stopped for a few months. And so the sales, but before that, they were selling about 2 to 3 million euros themselves. So they had turnover. So we're expecting to recover some of that turnover, you know, also. So it's not like 28 crores the expense budget, but you also expect them to, you know, hopefully make some money. So 28 crores be the loss, we sold like zero in the year, you know. But obviously, if they lose some business and make some profits, then that would be reduced. So we're just, I'm only talking about the expense part because that's all I can predict right now. I don't know how much, you know, positive revenue we're going to do because it's still in a very early stage and, you know, we've got a certain operating style. So we can't just like, you know, go put our hands and feet everywhere and just sell anything, anywhere. We want to go in a very specific manner.
Right. And for the other two subsidiaries, they are self-sufficient. They do not need any funding. neither Mark Print nor Codeology, or do they also need funding from the parent?
No, no funding required at all. They're both positive. They're both profitable, so they're both self-sufficient, and yeah, they don't need anything. We're not taking dividends out of there yet, but we're not. We don't need to invest out there either. We want them to use the money to grow the business faster.
Kapoor, does that answer your question? Hello? Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Jaideep, can you help us out with the revenue mix across printers, consumables, spares?
Yeah, sure, Karan. For the Q1, for the printers, it's about 14% of the overall revenue.
Right.
Consumables is 66%. Spares is about 7% and service income is about 13%.
Right, and the number of printers sold this quarter?
The number of printers we sold in this quarter is about 622.
Okay, 622. So flattish YOY, right?
Yeah, actually what, I mean, there is a timing difference, because what has happened is that there are quite a few large prospects we've got, but the orders could not, I mean, orders were delayed for finalization. So hopefully
right.
This will realize in the Q2.
Right, right. Correct. And with respect to, you know, EBITDA margins, how comfortable are we taking this run rate for the rest of the year?
Karan, I tell you what, this is a classic case of, you know, like product mix.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends upon how much of, you know, printers would be sold in majority versus compared to the consumables. It's just Q1, so it's very hard to predict the mix of that, I mean.
Because I was looking at your gross margin profile, it is, you know, pretty decent compared to the last couple of quarters.
We are doing well and hopefully we would like to continue the same trends, but I can't really tell you exactly because the product mix always changes. So.
Right. And also we've been talking about, you know, price hikes, which we keep talking. So how much of that is absorbed in the system and how much of it is, you know, yet to be taken? Can you quantify that?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to talk about the price hike?
Yes.
I think we had done one, you know, like a year and a half or two ago. And
October 22.
Yeah, so I think that has been pretty much fully implemented. We're going to have our next manager's meeting in October this year.
Right.
And, you know, obviously we need to do some more studies on our own side and see if the costs and other things have increased. Normally, we increase the price of AMCs and filters and spares every year, you know, especially of service, you know, of labor-oriented things, because obviously, you know, get paid more. So that's a consistent increase.
I wanted to understand more from the Red Sea issue. So anything specific out here?
That made us no difference one way or the other. Just a slightly a longer like lead time or something, but because of COVID, we're very used to all this rubbish now. So.
Great. And any major capex, Jaideep, for this year and next year?
Any major, what are you saying?
Capex, capacity expansion.
No major capex for the coding and marking.
For the coding and marking, nothing, but we might make a major expansion in terms of the packaging business. So we're looking at that quite actively. So as you know, the specific type of machine that we have created, it's a mono-dose type of machine, a single-serve, you know, a mono-dose, as you would call it, you know, for a single serving. And it's an alternative to, you know, a thermoform or a sachet or other types of, you know, single-serve, single-use tubes or something. So for that, the material is linked to the machine, sort of like a Tetra Pak thing. So if you buy a Tetra Pak machine, you have to use the Tetra Pak material from Tetra Pak. And so we are also considering setting up a unit for making this material in India. But currently we are purchasing it from Italy and the price of the material is quite high, along with lead times and other issues. And we think that, you know, that will be one of the bigger issues going forward in large customers who have, you know, because they're more sensitive to the material price rather than the machine price. So definitely that's something we are looking at actively. But we're still discussing at board level. You know, as and when we have something to announce, we'll definitely, you know, get back to everyone. But we're looking at it quite actively because we feel that significant savings are available while maintaining the margin profiles. And that would also turbocharge the business.
And last question from my end is with respect to mask business. That's it. We may follow the question queue next.
So the coding and marking business, I don't think there's anything significant at least. Maybe some maintenance level things.
And what, how do we see the mask business going ahead? That was the last question.
Which business?
Mask.
So it's not that much of a major focus. The thing is, so the mask business is one of those businesses. It's not losing money. It's not really making money. It's, you know, very marginally positive is what I'll say. So it's going, you know, it's not a big focus right now. We are, you know, it's not taken a lot of my own personal bandwidth. Mr. Murarka, HR head, you know, or rather HR marketing head also has that additional responsibility of this. So he's got some stuff that he's created with the team out there to make a plan to look at that. But like I said, so far for me, this last 3 to 4 months, I'm not really personally been involved in it. It's one of those businesses which is neither profitable nor losing any money either, you know. So because of the opportunity cost, we don't want to shut it down in case we want to do something again. So right now, we're just keeping it going on that basis, but we're also working out a plan for the longer term. So give us maybe like 1 or 2 quarters to give a definitive response on how we want to take that thing forward.
Thanks. Operator, please follow the question queue for this part of the call. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Disha from Anvil. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, I wanted to check when you mentioned the investment of 45.
Disha, can you speak a bit louder, please?
Hello. Now, am I audible?
Yes. Go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to ask that you mentioned that we have invested around 40-45 crore in CP Italy investment. And just wanted to confirm, so we spend another 30 crore throughout the year for the planned expense. Am I getting it right?
Partly right.
Okay.
So what I'll say is that we have spent about, I think, €3.7 million.
Okay.
You know, plus a good chunk of other expenses which have not come in that transaction because, you know, all the ups and downs and leap with this thing and whatever all the other secondary opinions that happened. On the V-Shapes transaction, we have also invested in some, you know, sort of facilities within India and in some of our other places to be prepared for that. And that's part of the rest of the investment that takes it close to 45 crores.
Okay.
So it's not specifically in CP Italia. CP Italia was a €3.7 million, if I remember, just very approximately.
Yes.
And, you know, the rest of it was spent in India, preparing for the for this business in India also.
Okay. And another €30 crore
We have €28 crore operating budget, like a expense budget
expense.
For Italia. Okay, that's the entire expense, out of which 15 or 13 or 14 crores is the cost of people and all the other stuff there, like electricity and travel and all the other types of things.
Okay.
10-11 crores is the cost of our R&D budget for this year because we are working on improving or taking the technology to certain other parts that we can do. You know, so we're trying to extend it because we can, there are certain, okay, so like it's a monodose packaging for the liquids, but there are certain other applications we can do with it also. And I can't see anything because we're under the patent filing process for some of the developments we've already done and some of the stuff is already done. So we'll give you all the post-facto news once we finish our patent filings and they've been accepted and filed, and then let you know what we've done in terms of our further R&D. We've also developed some of the accessories around this. So like, you know, not only the machine is there, but the automatic carbonating machines, the other types of things that go along with this, those have also been part of that R&D project. We've also put an RFID, which is one good synergy that's happening because, you know, so like I said, the material is connected between the machine and the material. So this will ensure that nobody else can use anyone any other type of material on the machine except for our material.
Yes.
So I said 28 crores is the total, or 27 crores or 28 crores is the total expense. The total expense. It's not taking into account any revenues in there.
Correct.
So what is there is obviously they were doing some business previously. We're expecting to do more business towards the second half of the year as we get our strategy in place. Obviously, because the company shut down for a few months, it went through an auction process. You know, some of the companies, customers, you know, there is a suppliers, everyone has a slightly negative, you know, mindset at that point of time, to be honest. And, you know, that's something we have to deal with before the revenues flow back in, and we're working on that part. So that's something that we're working on. So like I said, in a worst case scenario, we could lose 28 crores. In the first quarter, we've already spent a quarter of that money, but we've also made some profit, some gross profit. Therefore, the loss was 5 crores. I can't say for exactly what's going to happen in the next three quarters. Yeah, if you're going to ask me what is the worst case scenario, I'll say we lose 21 crores. You know, but I'm expecting that we're going to also sell some things out there and make some positive revenues.
Sure.
So, you know, that's something we'll only time will tell, but it's it's we know that this was part of our strategy, this was part of our budget, and we had planned for this very much, and we want to make sure that it happens through the auction, so there's no liabilities that were there. So this is part of our planned budget.
Yes, and so regarding the Indian business, the printers we have sold, isn't it easy to predict the revenue because of the consumer phase, which is assured phase, because our printer can use only our consumables. So that 400 crore, and also for next year, because our printers generally 3 years we get the consumer sales, 7 to 8 years. So at least we can predict the revenue for the coming 2 years. So is
yeah, so of course what I'm saying is that so we don't give any predictions specifically. I know the board has given a target to us of 400 crores this year, and of course Saket Kapoor asked for that specifically, and I said that we are, it looks like we'll be close to that, if not there, you know, for the first, for this year in this thing. Like you said, there is a definitely a predictability in our business, you know, in terms of the repeat sales, but it's very difficult to predict, you know, exactly how many printers we're going to sell in a year.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, so, in a range bound.
And then, So those things are there, but yeah, we're not seeing a bad business in India. Like the market outlook is still good. Like I said, because of a change in strategy, because of change in industries and verticals, because of, you know, a little bit of management changes into some of the newer areas that we needed the thrust. There was been some minor slowdown, and I'm not happy with the Q1 results, but I don't think the pipeline is fundamentally bad. I'm talking about standalone business. I'm actually less worried about the consolidated aspects. And I think that what we, you know, can see is definitely that if we can, well, like I said, as you're working towards bigger sales deals, it is having a longer period, you know, and that was part of our sales strategy, to work with the customers at multiple levels, at higher levels, and, you know, try to execute large projects with them rather than constantly sell. And, you know, so it's something that's, you know, prolonged the whole sales cycle a bit and making it a bit more lumpy in terms of that, you know, upfront consumers business, upfront printer business. But yeah, the consumers business is quite predictable. And I think also what we've seen is, as a result, over the last 2-3 years, we focused on larger customers. The, you know, the stability of their own businesses is quite high. So we're not seeing that much fluctuation in the consumer's business.
Sure. And so in terms of market share, have you taken any clients from the other three players because of this Make in India or whatever concept, if it works in this industry, and any change in market share related?
So, I think, see, Make in India, Videojet, and Domino, all three have a long history in India, you know, and India's, frankly, not that patriotic a nation, is what I'll say. I mean, I don't know how people want me to say it in that way, you know, but it is, there's no, like, feeling of a made in India or, like, how it would be in Japan, like, it's made in Japan or in Germany. Like, so there's no real benefit or in America or something.
Sure.
So I think, like, if anything, people prefer international products, you know, normally. But, you know, we also established in this market for a long time and everyone knows us. So there's, I don't think there's any advantage or disadvantage between the four of us coming down to execution. Yeah, we do get customers from our competitors all the time. And, you know, I'm sure vice versa also it happens. But it's marginal. We have gained minor market share over the last 3-4 years, but consistently. And, yeah, it's just going to come down to execution to keep increasing that market share percentage between the four of us and then also in the overall market. So the four of us still, I think, Jaideep will have a better picture, but I think we would still be 75% plus of the overall market. 75% to 80% of the market will still be the big four.
Okay, great. And so just the last question. So one, why is Domino's, it has more margins than us? Like the rest, other players are quite below us and we are very efficient competitively. But in terms of Domino's, they have like around what data we get from private companies, 30%, and we are around 25% EBITDA margin. So is it because of the they spend less on advertisement or something like that?
So there are 2-3 reasons. And of course, from this year onwards, I'd say, like, or even last year, the figures are not comparable because Domino has, you know, started the label press, digital printing press business, and that's actually doing quite well. So they're getting a reasonable chunk of revenue from that, and that's distorting the figures.
Oh.
I would actually expect that business to have a lower margin than the coding and marking business, at least as of right now. But to put a long story short, they just got a higher base, you know, at this, in this business, if the base is higher, you know, the number of offices, people and all, it just becomes a bit more efficient, you know. Maybe not so much in gross margin terms, but in terms of SG&A, definitely becomes more efficient as you become bigger. And I think that's the one of the major reasons. And the second thing is, I think we've also been going through a bigger set of investments in the last few years, you know, with regards to track and trace, with regards to packaging, with regards to digital printing. So, you know, we have to incur those costs, which are all part of our own standalone, and we're not giving you, like, okay, you know what, I made 3% extra here, but I lost, you know, last year being, you know, like our track and trace team and our software development and everything like that. So we're not giving that sort of a thing. It's just a bundle. So I can't give you the exact thing because we don't give that type of breakup. But I think that if some of the investments that we're making in growing or increasing our long-term potential output were removed, you know, and you just look at Control as a pure coding and marketing standalone business, then, you know, this would probably be more profitable. And the third reason is that, you know, you have to understand we have to do our own R&D. We have to also pay some royalties to some of our partners and all those types of things. I don't know what those numbers are. Again, Jaideep has got them. But then if you take out that royalty figure, I think it's published, if I remember correctly, you know. So, and you take out some of the other R&D investments that we have to do ourselves as a standalone company, you know, as Domino is doing obviously more investment, but, you know, that's over a global base. Whereas, you know, for us, that percentage of development R&D cost as a percentage of ourselves is significantly higher to maintain, you know, our IP competitiveness versus, you know, Domino margin budget. Even something like their $1 billion companies. So if they spend $20 million, that's like 2% of their things. We're spending, you know, probably more than that, like, you know, as a percentage, if I look at royalties, where we're licensing those technologies or R&D types of things. So, our turnover was like 340 crores last year. So if we talk about like 7 crores as 2%, we definitely spend much more than that, you know. So that's part of the third aspect, which I'll say that, and this might be a permanent aspect because, you know, Domino is just a bigger company. They're always going to have a bigger, or even video and marketing margins, the bigger companies, and they're going to have like a bigger opportunity to, you know, spread those costs, over a big base, you know, and that's something that, I think this factor cannot be changed.
Before we move to the next question, would like to remind participants to kindly restrict to one question, please. The next question is from the line of Rupen Masalia from RN Associates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is, you know, it is nice to see that when it comes to capital allocation, we are committing towards core business or maybe, you know, towards adjacencies in increasing the total addressable market for us, rather than, you know, what earlier we used to do by building up the treasuries in equities. So that's good thing. And since, you know, in recent years, we have committed overseas in Mark Print, Cordiologies and CP Italia. I know currently CP Italia is like a incubation. But then if everything strategically, if everything falls in place over the next 3 to 4 years, maybe in 5 years' time, all these new initiatives, especially overseas investments, how big can it become in terms of, you know, generating revenues and, of course, profitability? Yeah, this is question number one from my side.
I think that obviously, like, see, we don't want to predict, we don't even predict our own coding and marking business revenue. Sakishji, who was part of the AGM, and obviously asked Mr. Kabra and the other directors, and, you know, there's a 400 crore thing. So we were just, yeah, I was said that, yeah, we're still committed to that. And that was on a standalone basis for Control Print, primarily around the coding and marking business. Now, as far as other things go, obviously each thing has its own market, but, and the addressable market, the idea is right. You know, so that the addressable market will get bigger with these other things. But in the end, you know, we can't predict what it is. Obviously, one, two bigger things that we felt like when we're talking about specifically the V-Shapes acquisition, we felt that this has, the potential to be a platform play in the longer term. So not just an adjacency, but a full platform, which could be of a similar size and profitability as Control Print, if not bigger, because it's definitely a much bigger addressable market. So, but it's difficult for us to give any type of prediction because, you know, we don't know ourselves. We are still, like I said, some things are in the investment phase, some things are seeing better, you know, now that we've got like things outlined and we're seeing, you know, converting into revenues and one, two things are still in the investment phase. And, you know, our strategy and execution still needs to be developed in all of these different phases, in all of the different product lines. And some we are like very at a certain stage, like in, you know, the packaging business where we need to do a lot of work. And then in some businesses, we still need to do a lot of optimizations further. Like even in the track and trace or something, there's still a lot of things that we still need to do to, you know, in the end, if we're doing a business, we want to be number one. We just want to add some revenue to our profit to our company. We want to, you know, we want to be the leader in our IP and the sort of technology and the sort of benefit is bringing to customers, not just be there and not just use the Control Print network to cross sell it, but we want to, you know, lead genuinely by giving the best sort of technological platform available to those customers and do something that's gonna you know, be 2 steps beyond what everyone else is providing currently. So it's going to take some time, but it's not possible for me to predict any market. Definitely, I can say that the addressable market is bigger, but in the end, it's all going to come down to whether we can keep innovating in terms of the technology. You know, we can make it as reliable as our current coding and marking platform. And that's something that's very important for us to make sure that it's extremely reliable. And the other part, the last part is, you know, then it's going to come down to the sales and marketing execution. And obviously that's something we're working on parallelly. It still has to be developed. We only have I think Saket Kapoor asked something about management bandwidth, and that's a fair question. So, you know, we only have a certain number of, you know, experienced resources that we can cross allocate to other businesses without affecting our coding and marketing business too much. So we're doing that, you know, and we've done that, but it can only happen at a certain pace.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful. And last question from my side is pertaining to standalone business. Within the standalone coding and marking business, pharmaceutical vertical, how it is faring, especially in the light of, mandatory requirements of QR code for top 300 selling formulations. So how is the pharma business faring?
So it's looking promising. I can tell you the pharmaceutical entire, whatever pharmaceutical, business we were doing in control print, that has been taken out and handed over to the entire track and trace division. So the track and trace division sales team is responsible for not only track and trace sales, but also all sorts of sales to pharmaceutical companies, because that's going to become more and more common. And I won't say anything because, obviously, and there are some of those top 300 brands which are being, using our codes and being integrated with us. We're not number one by a long way in that top 300 brand list, but we are, looking at getting up there. And I'll give you some, maybe towards the end of this financial year, I'll give people a better update on that. We are still working on some companies and we're still working on some deals, and, I'm hoping that, again, we'll only talk about it once we actually execute those things, not even like we get to business. So I'll tell you about that later down this year. I'll be able to give you a very good, better idea that whether we are succeeding or we are not by the end of this financial year.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Saket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So my first question is regarding revenue model. So in some sectors like that,
I'm sorry, we've lost the connection. I'm sorry, the line is disconnected. We'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management team for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, this is Jaydeep here. Thanks a lot, everybody, for taking out your time. Keep supporting us. Look forward to your continued support.
Shiva. Yeah, thanks, Karan. Thanks, everyone, for participating. I think a good set of questions and really happy to address them. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.